17. You can go ahead and keep it open there the entirety of our time this morning. And maybe by the time it's done, you'll have the verse memorized. It's very easy to memorize. If you haven't memorized a passage in a long time, do it this week. You'll be done by the time you get home. If you're in the back seat and you're not driving the car, don't try and memorize the scripture while you're driving the car. Wait till you get home. But kind of set the stage here. We know that the gracious promises that God gives throughout the Bible, they are in particular for His people. They are in particular for those who belong to Him and who have come into relationship for Him. But let's be clear, the promises of God and the purposes of God, God intends to extend His promises to the whole world. He has purposes that bring in the outsider, that approaches the one who is living in rebellion to His promises and rebellion to His past. How do I know? Because I was a rebel. And all of us at one time in one way were rebels, and we're only here because God looked beyond our rebellion and He approached us, says, I have a better gift for you. I have a promise that I want to extend into your life. The promises that are gracious, they are in a particular way manifest or realized by you and me, people who are part of the family of God, but God intends to extend this to the whole world. And so the call of verse 1, it's an earnest call not just to you and me. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. This is certainly an earnest call to us. Extol Him, Suzanne. Amen. Praise Him. Praise Him, Charles. It is specifically for us, but it is also an earnest call to all the nations. It is an earnest call to all the peoples, not just to God's people, but all nations and all peoples. And so this short psalm, it invites, in fact, you can say it commands, it invites all peoples, including God's people and those who are not God's people, to come to praise Him and to extol Him. See, when we think about praise, when you praise something, it's to express your respect, your appreciation, your gratitude. And so, praise the Lord. Express your respect. Express your admiration. Express your gratitude to the Lord. And when you think of the word extol, all extol is kind of to praise Him enthusiastically. Go wild about, or go on and on and on about. Now, for those of you who are a little more reserved, going wild about the Lord and expressing your praise for Him, it doesn't have to look like it does for people that you kind of think, they're a little bit edgy. They're a little bit over there. You know, some people, they totally freak out no matter what good thing happens to them. They lose their minds. Sometimes, you know, you do a little kindness for somebody and they're just overly expressive, right? And then sometimes, you know, you will give them a kidney. Thanks, dude. It's genuine expression, not all of what going on and on and on about looks different for the wordy. Than it does for those who are a little less verbose, right? But the call is to praise Him, to express in the way that we are, the persons that we are, with the temperament that God has given us. And so Psalm 117 starts out, praise Him, all nations, extol Him, all ye peoples, and it's an invitation to us. We ought to be those people who are most ready to, most quick to, most apt to, most regularly expressing our appreciation, our respect, and our gratitude to the one who saved us. In fact, sometimes it ought to drift over into the area of extol where we are kind of doing so enthusiastically. You know, for you know, some of us it's a hallelujah, glory to God. For some, oh, Lord, your love is fierce, and I just love that about you. Sometimes we do it with shouts of joy. Sometimes we do it through weeping, the joyful tear that comes to us. You put the two together, and what we have is a call to an unashamed, persistent, commendation of everything that we find lovely about the Lord. So if we are people who praise the Lord and extol Him, we are those people who persistently and without shame commend the things that we find lovely about Him to back to Him. That's what it looks like privately. It looks like us, Lord, oh, how I love You. How much I love Your grace. How much I love Your mercy. In Your mercy, You didn't give me all these things that I deserved. I deserved Your wrath. I deserved to be left to myself, but You came to me in grace, and I love Your grace. It approached me, and it gave to me the things that I had disqualified myself from having. If it's up to qualifying myself for salvation, I'm always going to be out, right? Because I can't earn it. But He brought it to me. In His mercy, He didn't treat me the way I deserved, and in His grace, He treated me better than I deserved. And I just love this about You. It's expressing to Him. We do this privately or personally. We do it in our homes. We do it in our cars. We do it when we come together as a congregation. And then there's the public times that we do it in our every single daily life, which simply is nothing more. When we come together, it's a participation. Loved ones, let me encourage you. When we come together in worship, when we come together in song, it doesn't matter if you like the song. It doesn't matter if you like the orchestration. It doesn't matter if you like the guy who's leading the song. The call is to come together and publicly to participate, to sing out. I will be honest with you. If I ever cut a record of worship, I would never buy that sucker. And if somebody gave it to me, I would consign it to a place. Well, here you go. You know, here's. I've been secretly recording you during Sunday morning worship. Well, you're just crazy. You know, you can listen to stuff far better on the radio any day. There's this thing called YouTube. There's all sorts of places you can get free worship that is done with higher skill and a great. But here's what we do. And this is where when it comes to worship, and I didn't mean to drift into this, but let me say, it's a matter of spiritual maturity on our part if we withhold ourselves from worshiping in our less than preferred songs, if we withdraw from participating in worshiping, not just our less preferred song, but an unpreferred style. Some of us in this room, we just get our worship groove on with old hymns. But let me tell you, if you refuse to participate in more contemporary songs that are being sung, you're quenching the Spirit's move in your life at that moment. For those of us, when we're singing the hymns, can't we just get past this? They were singing, my grandma was singing this song. It is a quenching of the Spirit to not give yourself to worshiping the Lord with the people of God as we are gathered. We are to sing out. Now, some of us love vocalizing, right? Yes, that's right, Pastor Brian. Some of us aren't so much into singing. Is that right, too? When we come together, though, what praising the Lord and extolling the Lord looks like is a participation. A participation as we proclaim the good news. I am His, He is mine. And if it's an uncomfortable place, I get that. Sing with a whisper, I'm good with that. If your voice is awful and you sing out, I'm totally about that. That, I think, pleases the heart of God. We are called. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol Him, all you peoples. You see, when we go through the Old Testament, what the Old Testament consistently fronts, or it presents, the hope that there will come a day that all the earth does glorify the Lord. All the earth and all the people and all the nations in the world are praising Him and extolling Him. It points to a day when the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How do the waters cover the sea? It is comprehensive. every nook and cranny. And it points to us the hope when there's the hope, the thought, there's coming a day when all the earth will be covered with the glory of the Lord, and all the peoples and all the nations are praising Him and they are extolling Him. Psalm 96 kind of gives us a picture of this. It says, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord, He made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the earth. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness and tremble before Him all the earth. Say, among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the word is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Get this. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. And so we have right here in Psalm 96, just kind of supporting this call of 117 to praise the Lord all nations, extol Him all peoples. It is a hymn. That's what 96 is. It's a hymn celebrating God's rulership, His rulership over creation. And it shows us why all the people should love Him, and all the people should praise Him, and all the people should extol Him. Today's psalm, in the second verse, focuses on two primary motivations that prompt our praise and prompt our extolling of the Lord. Our praise is our expression of the Lord's goodness, His kindness, what we appreciate and respect about Him, what we revere in our gratitude. Can every one of us in this room think of one thing you love about the Lord? One thing you appreciate about Him? If you were to vocalize that right now, that's what praise is. What do you like about the Lord? Just go ahead and give it to me, everybody. Yeah, you can keep going. Yeah. That's praise. That's praise. Why should the people of God, according to Psalm 117, why should the people of God, all the nations, and all the people of the world join in praise to the God of Israel? Because here it is. Because of His steadfast love, and His enduring faithfulness. His steadfast love that is always coming in the direction of everybody, not just His people, but in a special way His people. And His enduring faithfulness that is coming in the direction and to all people, not just God's people, but to God's people in a special way. This steadfast love and this enduring faithfulness that He has shown, is showing, and will show. The steadfast love and enduring faithfulness that He has shown over and over and over and over again, and is right now showing over and over and over again in each of our individual lives and in the lives of everybody we know. God is showing His love to them. Even those who are walking in rebellion, He is showing His love by being patient with them in their sin and surrounding them with people just like you to point to Him, back to them. He is remaining faithful to them right here, right now. Not just us and keeping us in the faith, but He is remaining faithful in establishing the earth and keeping the earth in working order so that when they wake up, they're alive for another day. The sun, He makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. Those who love Him enjoy a beautiful sunrise. And those who rebel against Him can enjoy and be brought to tears at a beautiful sunset. He's faithful to us all. God is both loving and He is faithful. And He is always loving and He is always faithful. And therefore, Psalm chapter 117 and verse 1 calls us and the nations to praise Him. us and all peoples to extol him. The Lord God Almighty. Which is kind of a fearful thought if you let yourself dwell there. He'll snuff you out. I don't know where this came from, but there was a time when I was in the living room with my wife, and she was across the way, and she did this with her finger and her thumb. She goes, "Crush your head. Crush your head." I don't know where that came from. I don't know what I did to deserve. But let's be clear. The Lord God Almighty could literally crush your head. As easy as my wife imagined it on that day from across the living room. You can probably imagine all sorts of reasons why she would have done that. The Lord God Almighty, He is the saving and the keeping God of all the earth. He is the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God who blesses the nations and who intends even greater blessings to any person, indeed to all people who serve Him. If He's been good to you, I have some good news for you. He intends to be even gooder. If He's been faithful to you, He intends to be even more faithful still. So we ought to praise Him today. So we ought to extol Him today. And we ought to wake up tomorrow and praise Him through the day and extol Him through the week with the people we are with and around the people that we are around. This isn't always kind of standing on the soapbox with a sandwich board, turn or burn. It's simply, you know, you are who you are. You're one who loves the Lord. You're one who's experienced His favor. You're one who is walking in grace today, though you deserve wrath. And sometimes you find yourself in a workplace and it's a difficult thing and you call, "Oh Lord Jesus, would you help me?" That expression of need glorifies Him. That expression of need in a public place when you're surrounded by the irreverent and the irreligious kind of outs you as a believer. Well, why would you pray something like that? Well, glad you asked. Because now it's time to extol, to go on and on and on and on about the things you appreciate about the Lord. Here's why I'd say something like that. Because 10 years ago, I was so far away from God, I was destroying myself. I was living on a course that was leading in sure destruction, and somehow I was rescued, and I wasn't looking for rescue. And look at me now, and you can walk through the story of God's faithfulness. And I just appreciate that He didn't give up on me when my mom and my dad gave up on me. I appreciate that He didn't give up on me when my husband gave up on me. I appreciate that He didn't give up on me when I had given up on myself. That is, extolling the Lord, it is also a witness for the Lord. So why should all the peoples praise Him today, not just God's people? Why should all the nations extol Him, not just God's people? Well, here it is. I mentioned it earlier, James chapter 1, verse 17. It's the concept of common grace, which says this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is true of everyone who's ever had a graced moment. This is true for everyone who's ever experienced a moment of joy, not just the believer. Every moment of joy for an unbeliever is God's good gift to them. Every sunrise is God's gift to those who are saved, those who are part of the kingdom of God, and those who are not saved and who are far from God. How many in this room have ever been brought to tears at a sunrise or a sunset? Yeah. And what came out of your mouth was, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." It's praise, right? You stand at the side of the Grand Canyon. You don't have to think what the right response is. It just comes out of you. Hear me, whether you are a believer or not, you will stand side by side with people who worship the Lord and with those who deny the Lord and are hostile to the Lord in tears at the beauty that is before you. And where we have an outlet for the experience, thank you, Lord. Oh, what, your beauty is glorious. Those who reject the Lord and His goodness and His kindness are stymied with what do you do with this? You hold a brand new baby in your arms, and it brings tears to your eyes. And only those of us who know that God created us in His image have a place to say thank you. When you hold that baby, you want to say thanks, whether you're a believer or not. It's the right response. Everybody in this room, I think, has had that experience. Oh, it's you know, there's something in us that has to be given outlet to. And I think how small the life, how lonely a place it is to hold your newborn baby and have only you and yourself and your husband and your family to share it with. But there's joy there, right? There's complete joy there. There's not the knowledge, the understanding that there's a limited expression to what wants to come out of their heart. In that point, you all want to give gratitude. You want to give thanks for her. Little Charlie girl, she's not my girl, but I want to thank God for her. Even though other nations and people don't always recognize Jehovah as the God, He is nonetheless their God, since He is the only true and living God. And when you have within yourself a desire to give praise, when you have yourself a desire to give attribution to or thanks for something like this, it is indicating that there is within you eternity already placed there. And if there's find within yourself a desire for something that you can't find satisfaction right here and now in this world, as C.S. Lewis says, it is a clue that you were created for another place where you can be fully satisfied. And you can fully find joy. And so we praise God because God has promised to bless the nations of the world through the seed of Israel, and in His kindness He has blessed them, and He is blessing them with every good and every perfect gift that they presently have. So hear me, loved ones. Our God is the only true and living God. And His goodness to us, He shares with all people. And He intends to save and to bring in people from every nation, from every tongue. And our response, our right response to who God is to praise Him. Our right response to who God is to extol Him. It's to praise Him and to extol Him for His steadfast love and for His enduring faithfulness. And when the psalmist expresses these motivations to worship, he's pointing us to who God is by His very nature. See, here it is. It's not simply that God does loving things. It's not simply that God does or acts in faithful ways. It's that His steadfast and abiding love, or that His is a steadfast love, His is an abiding love, and that His is an enduring, and His is an abiding faithful, because it's not that God does loving things, it's that God is love. We do loving things. Only God is love. Who He is. God simply doesn't act faithful. God is faithful. We can act faithfully in particular relationships from time to time, but only God is faithful. And this is who He has always been. See, it's not just this New Testament God who kind of tempered Himself a little bit and got nice to people and was all of a sudden loving and faithful. You know, he had like a midlife crisis after the Old Testament. So, you know, I was a little cranky in those days. I want to kind of soften myself up a little bit and be nice. This is who God has always been. Here's what God says to Moses when He gave him the Ten Commandments. And now look at me. You think of the Ten Commandments. Well, here's what God says of Himself when He gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, here it is, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. See, he was merciful and gracious. He was slow to anger. He was abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness all the way back to Exodus. All the way back to before Genesis 1:1. It's not who God has grown to be, because God doesn't grow. He doesn't change. He has always been an eternally loving and eternally faithful God. He can never be anything else but loving and anything else but faithful. So we praise and we extol Him because He abounds in love and His faithfulness endures forever. As we head to worship in just a few minutes, I want to give you a couple of thoughts. We praise and extol Him for great is His steadfast love towards us. I want to say a couple of things about His love. His love is a preceding love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This makes me happy. While I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. And He didn't die for me when I was a sinner and forget to die for Becky when she was a sinner. He died for you, Becky, when you were a sinner. He died for each one of us individually when we were sinners. And if you're in this room and your sin hasn't been forgiven, He died for you in the position you are right now that you might be forgiven. His love precedes our repentance. His love precedes our getting our act together. His love precedes our getting our conduct more in line. His is a preceding love. His is also an initiating love. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, that through Him we might live." He sought you, and He sought me, and He sought us before we knew who He was, before we heard rumor of His character. God sent His Son into the world. It pursued us. It came to us. His love is a preceding love. His love is an initiating love. And His love is an empowering and transforming love. If His love didn't make a difference, we ought not to give ourselves over to Him. But hear me, His love makes a difference. His love empowers us. His love transforms us. 1 John 4:9, verse 16 through 19 says, "So we have come to know and to believe the love of God that is for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence." We didn't have confidence before, but because He has loved us, we have confidence now. We have been empowered and we have been transformed. We have confidence for the day of judgment. Before, we only had fear of wrath, but now because He has saved us, we can look forward to hearing these words in judgment. "Well done. Enter into this place I've prepared just for you." There is no fear in love. Before we knew the love of God, we knew all about fear, and we ought to live and abide in fear, but perfect love cast out fear. The love of God that is previous and that is initiating is empowering and transforms us, and we can stand boldly in the presence of the most fiercely loving and the most fiercely powerful entity in the world. Fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We, here it is, love because He first loved us. What does this transformational empowerment look like? It looks like confidence. It looks like fearlessness. And it looks like love. We're confident before this powerful God. We are fearless before this powerful God. And we love because we have been loved by this powerful God. And then here it is. His love is not just a preceding love. It's not just initiating love. It's not just an empowering and a transferred love. It is also a keeping love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord appeared to him from far away." This is God speaking through Jeremiah to Israel. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." And what was true of God's love for His chosen people, Israel, is true of His love for His chosen people right here in this room today. Though Israel was pressed by difficulty from without and from inside, still God was guided by His everlasting love for them and spoke of their return to favor because of His faithfulness to His promise. And hear me, loved ones. We too, like Israel, know what it's like to have enemies that would come against our faith and our trust and our confidence in God. And we too, at times, have been our own worst enemies. See, it's not just that Israel was trying to get their act together and live rightly before God, and they were oppressed on the outside and had no guilt on their own. Inside, they rebelled against God. They had received His grace. They had received His mercy. They had received blessing upon blessing upon blessing, and still they turned their eyes away from Him. And their hearts to other gods were just like that. But the way God acts towards Israel is the same way He acts towards us in our sin. He remembers His steadfast love, and He says this, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. Let's go back to verse 1 of Jeremiah 31. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel. He's talking to people who are living in rebellion. He says, there's coming a day. There's coming a day when my grace is going to overcome your rebellion. When what is righteous about me will overtake you in your sin and bring you back to a place of blessing. At that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, and here it is, no matter how difficult our days are, if we will seek Him for rest, and we will turn to Him in our need, then it will be as if what God said to Israel through Jeremiah, He would be saying to us, the Lord appears from far away and says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. And He goes on and says this, again I will build you and you shall be built. Again, you shall adorn yourself with tambourines and shall go forth in dance of the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria, and the planters shall plant, and they shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall come a day when the watchman will call on the hill country of Ephraim, arise and let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. There will come a day when we say, let's go praise the Lord. Let's go extol His name. Though there was a time we were walking in rebellion, where our hearts were hardened, He came and He softened them. It kind of, this whole passage reminds me of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul writes, and I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know everybody's testimony, but I know there was a time that God had started a good work in Eddie Spitelli's life and he rebelled against that. But because God had loved Eddie with a steadfast love and He remembered his faith, He sought him and He brought him to his own knees where he sought out rest. And there are days of fruitfulness right now, though there should have been just wrath. And this isn't just Eddie's story. This is Pastor Brian's story. This is Suzanne's story. This is all of our story because He is faithful. All brings us back to why we extol Him and why we praise Him, for the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. If those who are part of the worship team, if you just kind of come up here, and everybody else, if you just kind of ignore what's going on, I want to talk about His faithfulness, and I want to say, I think, three things, maybe four. The first is this, God's faithfulness is not contingent. His faithfulness is not contingent. Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. Here's the deal. God is true to His word, always. God is true to His promises, always. God is true to His perfections, always. God is true to His purposes, always. It doesn't matter how much you blow it. His faithfulness is not contingent upon your faithfulness. When you are faithless, He is faithful still. He is still good, and He is still powerful, and His love is enduring, and His faithfulness is existing for all of us at all times. When we rebel, there is for us, we walk into a place where He contends for us. And then there's this. Not only is faithfulness not contingent, but I love this, He shares His faithfulness with His people. His faithfulness. He shares His faithfulness with us. At the end of Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, there is this picture. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He judges and makes war. But get this. A couple of chapters earlier, in chapter 17, in verse 14, talks about when people are making war on the Lamb. This Lamb who is the one who's seated on the horse in Romans 19, in Revelation 19, who is called Faithful and True. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer Him, for He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with Him are chosen and faithful. So the one who rides on the right horse is faithful and true, and those who are coming with Him are chosen and they are faithful. We are faithful in this, that we did not turn our back upon Him persistently, and so that when He came, we were there to be had by Him. When He came, He found us in relationship with Him. When we came, we found us trusting in Him. Though imperfectly and though weakly, He shares His faithfulness with us so that what can't be said about Pastor Brian, I'm not a faithful guy in all ways. He makes true of me. I'm faithful because He has kept me faithful. Named by Him, named after Him. He is faithful and we are too. And then you have this. His is a forgiving faithfulness. See, His faithfulness is not contingent. His faithfulness is something He shares with His people, and His faithfulness is a forgiving faithfulness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here it is. If you confess your sin, you're forgiven because God is faithful. If you confess your sin, you're forgiven. If you've confessed your sin, you're forgiven. Let's do away with this forgiving, this repenting of past already forgiven sins. Do away with it. If you're having a bad day and you seem to be walking outside of the favor of God and you're going, what did I do in the last 10, 20, 30 years that I have not forgiven of? How many of you are haunted by a past sin that you've already confessed? Are you haunted by past sin? Let me tell you that sin is forgiven. There's no condemnation for you right here or ever for that forgiven sin, because God is faithful and He is just. Let me hear you understand this. On the cross, that forgiven sin, the wrath and the punishment for that forgiven sin was poured out upon the Son by the Father. Jesus took the wrath for that past sin that is haunting you right now, and because that sin has already been taken care of in Christ, God's not looking to punish you anymore for it, because it had been fully punished, no matter how bad the deed was. You're forgiven. You are forgiven. It would be unjust for Him to punish you for a sin that He's already punished in Christ. But He's faithful and He's just. It doesn't how bad you treated somebody back in kindergarten. It doesn't matter how bad a bully you were in middle school and high school. If you're forgiven, you're forgiven. The wrath and the punishment for them have been poured out upon Him, and it will no longer be visited. Let's do away with this guilt and this sorrow and this anguish over past sin that is forgiven. Let's deal with our present sin so that it may be forgiven too. And His faithfulness gives us courage. And this is the end of this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 and 25 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promises is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Why can we hold fast? Because God is faithful. And how do we stir one another up to love and good works in light of this? By faithfully gathering together and reminding one another of God's steadfast love and His enduring faithfulness by praising Him and extolling Him together. See, what I love when I come together Sunday after Sunday, it could have been a really bad week for me. And here, let me kind of, you know, let's expose the wizard. The wizard has bad days. I come together, you know, I saw an article kind of at a spoof site the other day. Study comes in and it turns out that everybody in church is doing fine. 100% of people in church are doing fine. Some of you aren't doing fine. Sometimes your pastor is not doing fine. Sometimes he's discouraged. Sometimes he's weary. Sometimes he is doubtful. But God is faithful. And so when we come together and we sing, whatever it is we sing, forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Sometimes I need to hear you sing that to me. And when you sing that back to me, I am stirred to love and good works. And on and on and on we can go through the scriptures and find evidences of God's steadfast love and His enduring faithfulness. But not just here, we can tell our own stories of God's steadfast love and His enduring faithfulness. So what are we to do with these beautiful truths? Well, we are to join all the nations and all the peoples in praising and extolling the Lord. And we're going to begin again right here, right now, one with another. Would you stand? Would you stand? Before we go to, at least would you put that back up? The scripture text back up? Before we go to the song, I want us to say this out loud together. Would you read with me? Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol Him, all peoples. For great is His steadfast love for us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Your love is steadfast. Your faithfulness endures. It never grows weary. You never go tired in Your love for us. Your faithfulness is never compromised by moments of weakness. Oh, we bless You, God. We bless You, God.
Give thanks to the Lord, our Lord and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, His love endures forever. For the Lord, the life that has been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. From the rising to the setting sun, His love endures forever. By the grace of God, we will carry us. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise.
Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever.
And while the music plays, let me simply ask you to voice your praise to the Lord, the things you appreciate about Him, those things that you are grateful for. Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my son. I thank you for my son's lovely wife. And I thank you for this congregation, these friends, Lord, that you've brought into my life. But I thank you for your faithfulness, for your love that preceded my obedience, my repentance, your love that came to me and sought me out when I was blind to your beauties and I was deaf to your voice. Oh, I thank you for your faithfulness. You are always faithful. You are always true. You are always perfect. And your plans and your purposes, they are always and only good. Lord, I thank you for the sin that you have forgiven me of. And it will no longer be visited back upon me in judgment and punishment. But it stands as a trophy of your grace that I have been forgiven. And I have been cleansed. And I stand in your presence pure and holy.
Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever God is faithful.
Stop and thank Him for His faithfulness. I praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness. That when my follow-through is weak, your commitment is strong. When I grow weary in walking in your ways, you are not weary to call me back into your ways. You are faithful. You began a good work in me. You began a good work in me. You began a good work in me, and you're going to see it to the end. Forever God is strong. Lord, I thank you for your strength. Thank Him for His strength. The strength that sustains you, His strength that lifts you up, His strength that holds you, His strength that supports you, His strength that brings you along. Forever God is with us. Hear me, loved ones. God is with you. And I want you to think right now in the area of your life that you are most weary in. And I want you to speak this truth over your life. God is with me there. The area in your life where you're maybe a little bit doubtful, where the job and the task that is ahead of you is, it's bigger than you are. And you're afraid of being exposed as a fraud. He's with you. He's with you. And as He is with you, He is faithful and He is strong. And where you may be too weak to perform well, He's not too weak to sustain you. He's not too weak to bring you through. He's not too weak to create in you a life that is glorifying to Him. And there won't be a time, loved ones, this week when he's going to be done with that. Because forever, he is faithful. Forever, he is strong. Forever, he is with you. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. And you are joyous. You have joy in you. When you look upon us, even in our perfect following of you, you take pride in us as you can. So that's my boy. That's my girl. Oh, how I love her. Oh, how proud I am of him. Three things. If there is an area in your life of past sin that just haunts you and you have never been able to get past, I want to pray that that'll be done with today. There is past sin in my life that brings shame over me, and I too want that done. Anybody in this room? Yeah, come on up. That's you. There is shame that you would be delivered of today. And then, secondly, there's this. If there is present sin in your life and you need to repent and come to God, would you join us up here? There is present sin in your life. That may be these guys too. But yeah. No shame. This is a story we all have. And then there's this. Maybe your experience of life isn't as joyful as somebody who is loved by this God ought to experience. Here's the truth. I frequently live underneath the level of joy that I ought to have as one who's delighted in by his heavenly Father. I sometimes go, not just days, I sometimes go weeks simply mindful of how weak I am. And I let that determine the level of my joy. It becomes about my ability to fail trumps God's ability to care for me. And you'd have more joy than you have. I believe God's here to lift your head and to visit to you the joy of his salvation. So Lord, here we are. Here we are. We are those who have been forgiven because we have repented and we have turned our back on our past sin, but somehow we allow the voice of the accuser to gossip about how unfaithful you are. When we lean into our past sin, we are believing that you are not faithful to forgive or to cleanse. And Lord, so for my brothers and my sisters who can't get past this repented of sin, Lord, would you bring deliverance and total freedom, a removal of the shame that tarnishes, that tattoos them, and seems to never disappear. Lord, let them hear the voice of the Father says, I love you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And I am being faithful to you right now. And you are forgiven and you are pure and you are holy. When I look upon you, there is not one part of your body that I am ashamed to associate with. There is not one thought from your past that has been forgiven that guides my thought towards you. When I look upon you, when I think about you, I think of the Son, my Son, who died in your place and whom you have been wrought into relationship, and I see him. And Father, for our present sins all across this room, we confess that we have fallen short. And Lord, it's not just that we've fallen short, but we have sinned gloriously and egregiously, and it is to our condemnation. But we come and we confess our sins. Father, we have been consumed by the lust of the flesh. We have been consumed by the lust of the eyes. And we've been consumed by the pride of life. And we want to be consumed with the love of the God who loves us. So forgive us of these things. Forgive us of the sins. That have compromised the move of your Spirit in our lives. And free us to walk in joy and to walk in your presence, to know that we are beloved of you, we are chosen, we are blessed, we are indwelt by you. And Lord, may those truths about who you are and what you're doing in our lives, may that determine the level of joy we have this afternoon. That though we were unfaithful, you were faithful. And that's reason to find joy. Though we are weak in our follow-through, you've been strong in your keeping. And so may there in our heart ring a melody. Lord, a melody of love. The shame that you took upon yourself, Lord, would you remove it right now by an active work of your Holy Spirit? May it be done. The forgiveness of our sins, when we've confessed you are faithful and just, and we are forgiven. And so, Lord, may we all be returned to the joy of our salvation. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with me. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you praise for your steadfast love, and we extol you in your enduring faithfulness. You can be and you never will anything other than loving for us and faithful to us. All right. Hear me. Hear me. Actually, eyeball to eyeball me. I'll try and eyeball everybody. When it comes to this past sin, if you've confessed it and you have repented of it, hear me. It's done. It is done. Do not let your mind go down that trap, that spiral down into a pit of depression and sorrow and shame where you're looking at your life saying, how come this is happening right now? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not because of something you did 5 years ago. If you've repented of it, it's done. It's not yours. It's His. And there's no memorial there of your past weakness. There's only a tapestry of His grace. Did these things happen? Yes. Did you willingly participate in them? Yes. But now it's just a beautiful story of what God in His grace can overcome and forgive. It's not to your discredit, it's to His glory. Forgiven. Because God is faithful and He is just. Picture it this way. Your sin, the wrath and the punishment poured out upon Jesus Christ on the cross, who right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. This is what's mentally the gymnastic that is going on in our minds when we think God is punishing us right now for something we were forgiven of 10 years ago. The father looks to the son and says, I know you died for that, but you know, I'm just ticked off at them right now, so I'm going to bring that punishment back upon them. The father will not reject the sacrifice of the son given freely on your behalf. He, more than anybody, knows the pain and the sacrifice that Christ gave him to for your freedom. And he never loses his mind and starts to punish you for a past act that has been forgiven of. And Jesus says, hey, wait a second, Dad. Let me put you in remembrance. You know, no, they are forever mindful of these things. You're forgiven. You were delighted in. It doesn't, man, I guess I'm going to go around in circles just one more time. It doesn't matter how much you knew better. But I knew better. Still, he's faithful and just. But I knew better and I did it anyway. Still, he's faithful and just. But I knew better and I did it anyway and I persisted in doing it. I was belligerent. I resisted his call to repentance and I resisted his call to repentance and I resisted the call. I knew it was wrong and I kept on doing it. Well, where are you now? He stopped you in your tracks and you got on your knees, or maybe you were laying in bed, or maybe you were drowning, and you confessed. And you were forgiven. What glorious news. No shame. No shame for you. That includes the sins of this week that we've just confessed. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us,
and me and you,
forever and ever. Forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. All nations, extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Would you enjoy one another as you praise the Lord on your way out?